And here we are coming to you live from our top secret broadcasting bunker here at Area 52 at 1233 American Legion Drive, Festus, Missouri. This is Pastor Mike. I am online and I am live with you. Good to be with you today. There's not a whole lot in the news going on right now, and I want to really dedicate this program today to just doing some stuff. It's actually a study that I was going to do 2 weeks ago, then I was going to do Thursday, and then I was going to do it the other day, and on and on and on. And we're going to do it today. And I told the folks on Facebook in the Facebook group, pray that our internet connection stays solid today. We had a mishap last week where we had some things done to the church and they cut the line. And then yesterday, the phone company comes out, to do something with a fax machine. And in the process of that, all of a sudden, now they're working in that room where all of our equipment is, phone equipment, internet, everything. All of a sudden, the cable modem just quits working. Don't know why. And it wasn't fixed until about 6 or 6:30 last night. And stuff happens. But God's in charge today, and we're just giving everything over Him. And if we encounter problems again with our internet connection, I'm going to continue to roll on with today's Pastor Mike Online broadcast. I am recording it right now, and we will have it posted as soon as we possibly can after today's program. I want to start out by giving credit to Brent Evans, who we had somewhat of a conversation last Thursday. Last Thursday's program was it was unique, and I was just dealing with some of the issues, some of the accusations people have been laying against me. There was an ongoing conversation with Brent, who had repeatedly called me a racist. And so I dedicated Thursday's program to just dealing with why I say what I say. By the end of the program, he had sent in an email and said that he's sorry, he was wrong. Let me read his email. I think I can pull it up here very rapidly. Let's see here. Here we go. He said, let's see here. Let me get to here. He goes, okay, Mike, you made your point about not being a racist. That's good to know, man. Let your true actions speak louder than your words. And, you know, I discussed that, and I said, if you're really sorry, why don't you go to all the people that you called me a racist to, and why don't you tell them, hey, I heard Mike out. I listened to him. I think he's a good guy. So he wrote back in an email that I read just before the end of the program Thursday. And he said, let me pull it up here. He said, you got my word that I will tell everybody you're a racist like I thought. I do love you. And I went, and I was just stunned that he would say that right after the broadcast. I get this email, and I think he tried to send it because it was like the next email up on the list. I think he tried to send it right after he wrote the first one. And he said, I meant you aren't a racist. I mean, he made a typographical error. And the word not goes a long way. I mean, that's what God said to Adam in the Garden of Eden. He said, you shall surely die. And the devil comes up and says, not, you're not really going to die. So it changed the whole meaning of the sentence. Anyway, Brent, I wrote you back that day, told you I appreciated you telling me that, and I mentioned that I would mention you at the beginning of today's broadcast, the fact that you mistyped, and so everything's good between me and Brent. And I'll be honest with you, the older I get, I'd much rather have friends than enemies. And Brent, you may be among the pile of people that you may not like everything I say, you may not agree with everything that I say, but there should be amongst those who call themselves believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe the Word of God, I think that there should be at least a cordiality, a distanced fellowship, as it were. And there's biblical examples of this. If you remember Jacob in Genesis 33, when he's going to go meet Esau, and he's afraid that Esau's going to kill him. So he sends all of his kids first. That's what he did. And then he meets up and they hug one another and they, you know, there's an apology. There's a love there and everything like that. And Jacob said, well, come on, let's just go together and let's just be together. And Esau said, no, no, let's just, we're fine. It's over with, but let's stay separate. Abraham and Lot did the exact same thing. Lot, you go this way, I'll go this way. They loved each other, but they realized that they had to separate. Paul and John Mark. Paul's missionary journey, he takes John Mark. John Mark falls out. He can't handle the pressure. Paul's an intense guy. He can't handle it. So they had a falling out. The next time around, Paul's going to leave off again. Mark says, I can do it this time. I promise you I can. Paul said, I'm not taking you with me. I run fast. I'm going to move along. I'm going to make a lot of people mad. That's the life that I'm living, and I can't take you along. But God wasn't done with Mark. And so Barnabas, whose name means the son of consolation, went over to Mark and said, Mark, won't you go with me? And we have the gospel of Mark in our Bibles today, I think, because of that. And so, Brent, God bless you. I wish you all the blessings in the world. I appreciate the fact that you heard me out, that we could reconcile this. And I absolutely love that. Now, we may not be buddy buddies and go camping and hunting and everything like that. There may be even between you and I, there may be a separation over an issue or something like that. But I hope you realize that I'm trying to understand the Word of God. I'm trying to be biblically sound in everything that I say. And there are going to be some people out there who don't like it, and they are going to misconstrue. They're going to misconceptualize. They're going to outright lie about me. Who was it? Rob Schema said that my position on the Hebrew roots thing smacks of anti-Semitism. In other words, if I don't go along with the Hebrew roots doctrine, I'm a Jew hater. That's not true. And so, I mean, I'll be lied about. I'll be mischaracterized. People will say, well, he shouldn't say this, or he shouldn't believe that, or whatever. But the bottom line is, I believe the Word of God, and I'm going to stick with the Word of God, and I'm going to try to teach the Word of God. I wrote a blog post last night. Brent, I appreciate you. I love you. God bless you. And I am glad that we could clear that up. I wrote a blog post about 11 o'clock last night. And I saw on Facebook in some comments that had some people worried. Because the blog post said, I have decided. And, you know, I talked in there a little bit about the very first prophecy seminar I did. Back about 15 years ago, something like that. I didn't know hardly anything, but at that time, God has started showing me the beauty of the King James Bible. He started showing me some of the number patterns that were in the Bible. This is even before the King James Code. This is before I really got into it, but I started seeing patterns related to like the number 22 in the Bible. And so before I go down there, I just get along with God. I used to have a place here at the church. Back then we had a school and we had a daycare, and literally every room in the church was busy with something going on. And so I used to run off behind the baptistry. If you see the big picture of our church, the baptistry sits over to the right, and I used to go behind that and I used to pray. And my wife was the only person who knew where I was. And I went back there and I just prayed. I said, God, I'm not interested in lying to anybody. I'm not interested in telling anybody something that's not true. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to help me. Teach it to me so that I can commit it to faithful men, that I can teach it to others. And God, I don't want to handle the Word of God deceitfully. I don't want to lie to people. I don't want to jump off with half-baked ideas that aren't true according to the Word of God. I want to know the truth, and then I want to tell the truth. And that sort of set the theme and the tone for the way I study, why I study the way I study, what I believe, and then what I teach. And that in itself, and let me just back up a little bit. It is my nature, believe it or not, it is my nature to, I'm a peacemaker. I like to make people happy. I like people to be pleased with me. I like everybody to be comfortable with me. This is why I crack jokes. I just try to let people know, hey, I'm a cool guy. And I just try to make people feel comfortable around me. And I try to get along. And when I was in college, one of the things that the devil used against me in my days of Bible college, when I initially took a strong stand on the King James Bible, what happened was I was in a college where they didn't believe that. And then they started knocking me a little bit, and they started mocking me and making fun of me for my position. And I decided then that I would rather have friends than rather have true doctrine. So that's what I did. And I rose throughout those years to a place where all the students liked me. I was popular on campus. They elected me student body chaplain. People would come to me with their problem. And I was training to be a pastor right then and there. But I had abandoned what I stood for and what I believed in. And that's my nature, is that I want to be friends with people. I want to please everybody. And so if I find out that you're saying something and I don't agree with it, if we're just mano a mano, one-on-one, I'll probably keep my mouth shut. I won't just jump at you and say, why, you idiot, what is wrong? I won't do that. And God knows that. God knows that that's my nature. And so one of the things that I can clearly see that God has done for me over the years is that he has moved me out of the camp. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Let me pull up my scriptures here. In Ruth chapter 2, this was really, really interesting to me. Of course, you know that there's a beautiful, beautiful story here, a typology, a picture of the coming of the Lord. There's a picture of the Gentile church. There is a picture of the congregation of Israel, the church of Israel, the church of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob through Naomi. She represents Israel, and she is a woman that has no inheritance. There's no one to receive the inheritance. Her husband's died. Now her two sons are dead, and she doesn't have anybody with her except for Ruth, the Moabitess. She's a Gentile woman. She's a non-Jewish woman. And so you know the whole story there, that Naomi released the one of the daughters-in-law and said, you can go back. I'm going to go back home, but you can stay here. So she stayed. And she looked at Ruth and said, Ruth, you can go if you want to. You're free. I'm not going to hold you. Even if, you know, you were married to my son, and even if I got married today and had a child, it would be years before you could have that child as a husband. Go find a guy somewhere. And Ruth said, whither thou goest, I will go. And so you know the whole story. Then Ruth ends up marrying the kinsman redeemer, Boaz. And what was remarkable to Boaz about the nature of Ruth, here is what got Boaz. Here's what, and Boaz is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the redeemer. He's the one who purchases the possession and so on. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 11, and Boaz answered and said unto her, it hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband. And how, listen to this, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. And remember, God has wings. I love that. Read Psalm 91 if you don't believe me. God has wings. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. That was an anthropomorphism, and the Bible's simply using that sort of symbolic language. God doesn't really have wings. Yeah, he does. Number one, Boaz said God has wings. David said in Psalm 91, God has wings. And oh, by the way, when the Holy Spirit showed up and rested upon Jesus as he's coming out of the water of baptism, he had wings. You just got to believe it, people. But anyway, the Lord recompense thy work and a full reward, the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. But here's what was remarkable to Boaz. He said, I heard the story about you, Ruth. And you left your father and your mother, and you left the land of thy nativity. Now, and I want you to kind of think about this, because most of you that are listening, and I understand that there's some people out there listening that are, somebody sent me an email to tell me about trolls. My only knowledge of trolls was they used to live under bridges. Okay, these little, anyway. People are watching that hate my guts, and they're just waiting for me to say something. Fine. Because I've already decided that if you're waiting for me to say something, I might as well just go ahead and say it. Make it easier on you. Think about those of you who are listening this and been following this ministry and so on. You have left the land of your nativity. You have left. You have left the denomination that you used to be in when you first started going to church. Whatever denomination. Some of you used to be Roman Catholic. Some used to be Nazarene. Some Pentecostal Charismatic. Some of you were Southern Baptist, Independent Baptist, whatever. You were part of a native land, a group, a camp. You were in this camp. You were part of an ism. Whether it was Catholicism, Presbyterianism, baptism, Arminianism, Calvinism, dispensationalism, we were all part of this ism. And what you did was you woke up one day, maybe because God led you to our videos, or maybe just because you were reading the Bible one day and said, stop right here. That's not what I heard coming out of the pulpit. I wonder who's right here. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so the Holy Ghost led you through a journey of the scriptures because you were asking God questions. God, I want to know the truth. God, I want to see the truth. God, I'm not happy where I am. God, there's no fulfillment. What's going on in my life? God, show me where you want me to go. And all of a sudden, God led you to where you believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. You believe every word in that book is pure and it's right and it's holy and your doctrine is going to come from Genesis through Revelation. That's what you've decided. You left the land of your nativity and you said, whatever I used to be back then, I'm not there anymore. By the way, the land of your nativity there's a problem there. They have abandoned the Word of God. They may have started out nice 100 years ago, 50 years ago, whatever. They're not nice now. They hate the Word of God, and they're espousing all these strange doctrines, all these movements, all these experiences, all these programs, and you can see where they're headed. And you jumped out and said, I'm not going that way. I'm not headed. I am not going to go that way. That my way is where God wants me to go. So you've had to leave the camp. Because what you now believe, your conscience won't let you go and pretend to fellowship with these other people. It won't let you do it. You have a conscience. It bothers you because you believe what the Bible says, and it's against the isms that you used to be a part of. You no longer believe that tongues are to be done in the church by all these women rolling around the floor. You no longer listen to Joyce Meyer. You don't go confess your sins to a priest. You don't do those things. You just come out of the camp. You come out of the land of where you were born. And now you've come out. Now you just decided this is where I'm going to be. And God did that with me. He let me be hurt in the denomination by people that I was sucking up to. Man, I wanted to get close to them so they could recognize me. So they could see that I was doing a good thing and that they would praise me and they would pat me on the back. Oh, Mike, you're doing a good job down there at Bethel. Why don't you come preach for us at the meeting? Yeah, that's what I want. I want to come preach at the meeting. And God let me be hurt by those people. And I just went, yeah, they hurt me. And God has given me such a nature that when I just pick up from you that you don't want me around, you don't have to ask me twice. I'm gone. And so we left. We left the land of the nativity of Mike Hoggard. We left the denomination. We left what they're turning into. Not what they used to be, but what they're turning into. We left that. We had to come out. I'm not sticking with my Bible college training. I left that land of nativity. I'm out. Several areas of eschatology that I used to, that I grew up thinking, well, it's going to be this way because, well, you know, because this book said, you know, so-and-so said, and doctor this and that and said this, and, you know, that's how it's going to be. And then I just threw it all out and said, God, I want to learn from you from the book. God began to show me. God began to teach me things, beautiful things from the Word of God. And I decided that I had to come out of the land of nativity. I had to leave the camp because, and in some cases, they just threw me out. Let me read Hebrews chapter 13. Turn there in your Bibles or use the King James Pure Bible Search software. And if you don't know where that is, just Google it. King James Pure Bible Search software. It's on our church website. Visit BethelChurch.com. In Hebrews chapter 13, and I will say this, those of you who are going to attend the homecoming, either here or you're going to watch, we are going to stream all of the services live over the internet like we always do, and then we'll have them available as DVDs. I am going to walk out of the camp at this year's homecoming. I've been really praying about the direction that my study should go, what I'm going to be talking about at this particular meeting and so on. And just yesterday, God's given me an area to go into, and I'm going to say I'm going to be thrown out of some camps. I'm already out. But anyway, be prepared during this year's homecoming to search the scriptures, because that's what we're going to do. We're going to search them diligently. We're going to be Bereans. We're going to look at what's being taught, and then we're going to go to the Bible to see if these things are so or not. And if what so-and-so said isn't in the Bible, then we're not going to believe it anymore because it's not there. Hebrews 13:10, we have an altar whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. And geographically speaking, when they crucified Christ, I mean, here they are, they've got him at the temple, and they're lashing him. And he could have very well died right there, but he didn't. They put that cross on him, and he was led out of the city. Take your Bibles. Where is this story? Like the woman at the well, I was sinking. Oh, I was thirsty. Where is the story of the woman at the well? Anyway, she meets Jesus. She's a Samaritan woman. And Jesus is telling her, you know, about her life. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, well, okay. You've had like five so far. And the guy you're with right now is not your husband. And she's going, found me out. But she believes that he's the Messiah. So she runs down to everybody and tells them everybody. And you got to look at the language of the Bible. They came out of the city because that's where Jesus was. He was out of the city. Come out of her, my people, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Come out of Babylon. Leave Sodom. Get out of town. God is calling us out of the camp, out of the land of our nativity. Jesus also that he might sanctify the people with his own blood suffered without the gate. Let us, verse 13, Hebrews 13, 13. That's interesting. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here, all you, listen to this now, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. For me, the continuing city was the Free Will Baptist denomination. I would have spilled my blood for that group. I would have done everything. I would have given my whole work and my life and my ministry and all of my labor over to the conglomerate of the denomination. That's what I would have done. But when I began to see and what was going on and where they were headed, I didn't actually leave. They moved the city. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. And so when all of a sudden I wasn't showing up at the meetings anymore, they were going, oh, where's Mike Hoggard? Phew, I'm glad he's gone. When I didn't show up at camp anymore. What? No Hoggard here? All righty then. Let's change the Bible. Let's start using other Bibles. And that's what they did. And I bear the reproach of Christ gladly, going where he is, outside of the camp. Because here, I have no continuing city. I have no continuing denomination. Whatever group some people wanted me to be a part of, I'm sorry, I can't be in your group. You're going to have to count me out. I can't go along with what you're saying. I can't go along with what you're trying to do. I can't go along with it. I'm out. So I have here in this world no continuing city. And that's where a lot of you are right now. You not only lost your denomination, you lost your church. You don't have a church to go to. So you are outside of the city. You're outside of the camp. You're asking me, Pastor, will you be my pastor? Yeah, I'll do it. I'll take all the castaways. I'll take all the throwaways. I'll take all the people that everybody else rejected. I'll take all the people who decided to take a stand. And they said, you know what? That's not the Bible. We're not going to be a part of it. I'll take all of you. I'll take the people whose own family has disowned them. I'll take you. I'll take the people whose your kind, your kindred, your race has cast you out. I'll take you too. When Stephen was called, and this is interesting because Stephen was actually, he was not an apostle nor a bishop. He was called to be a deacon. And when Stephen was called into the ministry, he just went around preaching everywhere. And here is something that, and I'm saying this not just of myself. I would say it to all of you out there who love the Lord, who love this Bible first before you love anything else. And what you had been taught is not matching up. What's coming out of the pulpit is not matching up with what's in the infallible, inerrant Word of God. And I'm saying this to you. Let's bear the reproach like Stephen did. He was called, and Stephen, full of faith and power, this is Acts 6, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians and Alexandrians! They copied Bibles, but they messed them all up. The Alexandrians and of them of Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen. And this is some of you. You posted things and ideas that you believe in with Scripture. And then you had people on Facebook and social media, or you had people writing you emails saying, well, you're wrong about that. Well, what about this? You're wrong about that. And then I've seen some of your posts because you did like I do. Well, if that's your position, then can you show me scriptures that backs that up? And they'll call you nay. Oh, you King James only people. You think you're the only ones going to heaven. You think you're all it. You think you're this. You see, they're projecting an idea on you that's not really you. You just decided God just crushed your heart one day, and you just decided you better believe the Bible, better believe it right. And now you get called names. And so you just post scripture there, and somebody says all the Bibles have mistakes in it. All the translations are good. They all have mistakes in them. And so you just say, you know what? Show me your scripture. Show me scripture that says that. Show me. And then they want you to watch a YouTube video. They want you to go read some dude's book, or they want you to go to some guy's website because he's going to explain it all. No, just show me Bible verse. Just show me a scripture. I need two, but I'll accept one that says that there's errors in the Bible. And they can't do it. And since they can't argue with you on the basis of scripture, they get mad. They call you names. They call you ignorant. They call you this and that and that and the other. Can't believe that you're so stupid and thus and that and the other. And then they go around telling everybody how nuts you are. Am I sprechen your Deutsch today? And verse 10 says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And Stephen was not some Bible seminary trained genius. He was a guy. He was a dude. He was just old Steve. That's who he was. But he had a spirit in him. He had a different spirit in him. And that spirit believed the word of God. And Jesus had actually warned his disciples about this. He said, they're going to take you to the synagogues. That's there arose certain of the synagogue. And Jesus said, and they're going to argue with you. They're going to accuse you, and they're going to kill some of you. And Jesus said, don't think about what you're going to say. Don't try to write a script of how smart you are. Let my spirit talk. And if my spirit talks, then they will not be able to gainsay nor resist. That is exactly what it says in verse 10. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. So here's what they'll do. Look at verse 11. So they suborned men, which said, we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. No, he didn't. He didn't say anything like that. He didn't say that. And they say, oh no, we heard him say that. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council, just like Jesus said was going to happen, church. And set up false witnesses, which said, this man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. And I'm going to teach a little bit this weekend on Acts chapter 7. If I get a chance to. I'm already rapidly filling up the time slots of teaching. Nothing like waiting to the last minute, huh? But if you read Acts chapter 7, Stephen is teaching them about Jesus the Messiah through typology. And he's teaching about how the Jews were going to be rejected and God and Jesus was going to turn to the Gentiles. And he's teaching that to them through typology. It's beautiful. And they can't resist that. And my friend, maybe it's time for you to come out of the camp, to come out of the land of your nativity, to come out of your ism and be separate. And you know what? All the different beliefs that are out there that I don't agree with, I mean these people no harm. I'm not trying to be their enemy. I'm not trying to be a revolutionary. I'm not trying to, well, I'd stay away from Dr. So-and-so. Unless, of course, it's Benny Hinn or Joel Osteen or some of these wolves out there. obvious that they are wolves in sheep's clothing and false teachers. I'm not out trying to just build enemies. But if I say something based upon the Word of God and some people don't like it, I would love your fellowship, but I'm learning to live without it. And so maybe it's time for us to come out of the camp, and the Lord just since yesterday, really yesterday afternoon, has been dealing with my heart about exactly that. For our homecoming, I'm going to be teaching some things that are probably not going to be popular. And I'll just say this. If you are of a persuasion where you have already made up your mind about how everything's going to go, you've already seen all the charts of eschatology, and you've decided that's it right there, I'm probably not going to say what you want me to say this weekend. I'm probably not going to do it. And I don't want any hurt feelings over it. I don't. I hate that. People leave the church. It makes me sad. People leave the Facebook group or the Watchman community because I had to take a stand on doctrine. I hate that. But I can't apologize for it. Got to stick with the Word of God. This is what we're going to do today. Where is my notes here? I had a couple news articles here. Pope Francis strikes more conciliatory tone on gay clergy. Let's see. We have Rick Warren. We have Brian McLaren. We have Tony Jones. We have Rob Bell. And now we have Pope Francis, who is okay to be gay. If someone is gay and he searches for the Lord and has goodwill, who am I to judge? That's what he said. Remember, he's a Jesuit. Remember that. He is with the Society of Jesus. His training has been to overtake the entire world in every denomination and every religion and put them under the blanket of Rome. That's what the Jesuits do. And then Terry Jones, the guy with the most awesome mustache. You've seen that. Let me put his picture up here. He's got one of them dude mustaches. Okay? Goes all the way down to his chin. He needs a mullet to go with it. He's going to burn another Koran. Let's see, when is this? The firebrand preacher from Gainesville has staged an unapologetic, unrelenting crusade against the radical Islam, has chosen the Polk County community of Mulberry. Here we go around the Mulberry Bush, as the site where he will torch 2,998 Korans, one for each victim of the September 11, 2001 terror attacks in the United States. And, you know, and I'll just say this, that's going to make a billion Muslims all over the world very, very angry. Whereas they burn the American flag and they burn Bibles and they kill Christians and Jews and think nothing of it. But how dare you burn a book? It's going to make them mad. Did you know that? Watch this now. If they decided in revenge to get together and burn a bunch of Bibles, did you know that I'm not going to worry about that? Do you know why? Because what king was it? Jehoiakim? When Jeremiah had it all written out, the prophecies, and he read it before the king, and the king took it and took a penknife and cut it up and threw it into the fire, Jeremiah didn't get mad. Jeremiah didn't say, "That's blasphemy! How is it blasphemer?" You know what he did? He said, "Hey, sit down with your ink and your papyrus. We're going to write this stuff again, and we're going to add a bunch more to it. Because even if you burn the paper, the Word of God's not going to go away." I absolutely love that. Get your Bibles out. Get your can of King James. Get your King James Pure Bible Search software. One of the things that I'm thinking about doing this weekend is just kind of showing people how to use the software, and it's relatively simple. But there's some features that I don't know anything about. And Donna is working on the 2.0 version of it. She sent me some clips of it, some screen captures, and it's cool what she's doing. She is going to have embedded into version 2.0 the ability to take notes. There's going to be note-taking stuff in there. That's cool. And so I'd really appreciate the work she's done. But I'm going to probably just take some time and just show people how I study the Bible. This is how I research and study the Scriptures. I don't have some other guy's prefabricated glasses on that tells me I must look at it this way, or I must see it this way, or the rules are this and this and that and the other. I remember when I first started studying typology, I picked up a one of these Bible commentaries, these theology books, and I was studying their idea of typology. And they were telling me all the rules of typology. Now, not everything in the Bible is a type. You know, this and that and the other, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And I'm going, well, I don't think I agree with that. I think God speaks in the types, in the shadows, in the pictures, in the examples, in the ensamples, in the allegories, in the similitudes is what he says. He speaks in those ways and in those fashions. He illustrates his doctrine. And so I don't know where I was going with that. But anyway, this is how I study the Scriptures. I study the Scriptures verse by verse. I don't let someone else tell me, well, you can't look at this verse this way, or that is only for Israel, or that you can't do that. You can't. I just look at it and say it's the Word of God. Paul said that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, even the parables. You say, well, I don't believe that, preacher. Well, let me show you using, take your King James Bible Search software, type in the word doctrine, okay? Just type that word in. Matthew 7:28, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine. That was his doctrine. Matthew 22:33, they were astonished at his doctrine. Mark 1:22, they were astonished at his doctrine. Mark 1:27, what new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Mark 4:2, are you ready for this one? And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And I was talking to a pastor one time, and I was kind of explaining my position on salvation, and I said, I draw from the parable the seed and the sower. And he said, I don't get my doctrine from the parables. Well, you should. That's where his doctrine is. He taught them by parables. He's using illustrations, and then the Bible will explain the illustrations. How do we know what seed is? Well, now we know seed is a word. How do we know what thorns are? Well, the Bible tells us. How do we know what good ground is? How do we know what the fowls of the air are? Well, the Bible tells us these things. And so that's how I study the Bible. I'm reading a verse. I look at a word. It jumps out at me. I study that word all the way through the Bible. And this Bible search software makes it so easy to do. Just today, I've put together, since about 9 o'clock this morning, I've put together two presentations for the homecoming this weekend. Just since this morning. And all I did was go, verse by verse, scripture upon scripture, chasing a little rabbit every now and then bringing it back together, verse by verse by verse by verse. And I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you one, thing that I'm going to do this weekend. We're going to study tribulation this weekend. We're going to study tribulation. Okay? Even the what may seem the most insignificant words in the Bible, type them in, study them out. You'll never fathom what you're not getting out of the Bible when you just skip over stuff. Let me give you some number patterns. The word sun, if you're sitting in front of your computers right now, which many of you are, go to your King James Bible search software, type in the word capital S-O-N. Okay, capital S-O-N, the word sun capitalized. And then right beneath that, hit case sensitive. Okay? Let me do that again. I'm not seeing what I should see here. The word sun, case sensitive. Why isn't that coming up the right number? 220 times. What if I use QuickVerse 3.0? I'm going to have to double check this now because I see something that I'm not used to seeing. Let me try it this way. Well, no, maybe I'm, let's see here. Maybe I'm wrong. No, 297. I'm going to have to recheck my figures. Maybe that was in the New Testament. The phrase, let me just skip over that. The phrase, all things, type that in. All things. Have you ever heard of this verse? All things work together for good for them that are called according to his purpose. Or, excuse me, the called according to his purpose. So you type in the phrase, all things, and you end up with 220 occurrences of that phrase. Now, what I'm not going to do today is go through all 220 passages where the phrase, all things, are. But one of the things in just studying that phrase out, because it's a phrase that we recognize from the scripture. He has put all things under his feet. Love endureth all things, believeth all things, hopeth, I said love, charity, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Though that phrase just jumps out at us in the scriptures. What does it mean? What does it apply to? Let me sort of give you this idea that the phrase all things in many cases, not in all, but in many cases represents the Word of God. I'll just kind of hit some verses here that when you hear it that way, it'll kind of make sense. Listen to this one, Genesis 24:1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. You know, just think of that being associated with the blessings of the Bible. Exodus 25:22, and there I will meet with thee and will commune with thee from above the mercy seat between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. All things which I will give thee in commandment. And so it's here again, it's a reference or an association with the commandments of God, the law of God, the word of God. Exodus 29:35, and thus shalt thou do unto Aaron and to his sons according to all things which I have commanded thee. Leviticus 8:36, so Aaron and his sons did all things which the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. And then, you know, as we're going through these verses, kind of go back to that verse, you know, that everybody knows like three verses out of the Bible. John 3:16, and then I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So just kind of think of that in relation to what all things represents. All things pertaining to the Word of God or the Bible itself. Deuteronomy 4:7, for what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? Deuteronomy 28:47, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And then in verse 48, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness. Listen to this now. And in want of all things. Think of the phrase, all things, being in relation to the scriptures, the word of God. And here's what God has said. Deuteronomy 28 is that passage in the Bible where God is making his covenant with Israel. And he says, when you will not obey my laws, all of my laws, all you Hebrew roots people who boast about how you keep the law, we keep Torah. We do this and we do that. The rule is, if you didn't keep all of it, you didn't keep any of it. That's the rule. That's what God said. So where's your boasting? It would be like if my wife sent me out to the store for a loaf of bread, and I make it all the way to the store, and I turn around and go back home, and she says, where's the loaf of bread? Well, I said, it's at the store. Well, I sent you to the store to get the loaf of bread. Well, I did most of what you said. Doesn't that ever make you happy? How come you're never happy with me, woman? I know I don't talk to her that way. But if I didn't do everything God said, I didn't do what God said. So he said, therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And I submit to you, I think we're living in a generation right now where God is judging churches, one church after another, one denomination after another, and they are definitely in want of all things. They're in want of scriptures. They're in want of what the Bible says. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck. You know what I think that means? I think that's the iron kingdom of Daniel chapter 4. Until he have destroyed thee, the destroyer, related to those that come out of the bottomless pit and the iron kingdom, Daniel chapter 4. God says he's going to put a yoke of iron upon thy neck. Make a little side note. Study the word yoke. Study that word all throughout the Bible. And you'll just go, oh, praise the Lord, look at that. And every now and then you'll start crying because you're seeing things in the Bible that you just never, and you have to admit, we live in a time right now that our forefathers did not have the benefit that you and I have. What is that benefit? The benefit of instantaneous Bible knowledge right there. We don't have to spend years combing the scriptures, looking for every, like Merrill Strong writing his concordance of every word in the King James. Are you kidding me? There's no way in the world Mike Hoggard does that. No way in the world. But we've got free software. Anybody in the world can download this and do exactly what I'm doing, and that is search for yoke. Search that word all throughout the scriptures. Get learning from it. Get education from it. All things. You're going to be in want of all things. You're going to be in want of the scriptures. And so where are people getting their doctrine from nowadays? They're not getting them from the Bible. They're getting them from this teacher, this book, that book, Zondervan, Randall House. They're getting it from David C. Cook. They're getting it from the big conglomerate, probably Illuminati-run bookstores. They're not getting it from the Word of God. Ruth chapter 4, verse 7. Now this was the manner in former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing, for to confirm all things. And this was speaking of the purchase of the inheritance. And along with that, purchasing Ruth to be the wife of Boaz so they could redeem that. We just touched on that a while ago. 2 Samuel 14:20, to fetch about this form of speech hath thy servant Joab done this thing. And my Lord is wise according to the wisdom of an angel of God to know all things that are in the earth. You want to know how come I know so much? I believe all things. I believe what's in this Bible. And I just believe that there's not anything that is going on around us that cannot be seen in the Bible. when I went looking for the secret of Freemasonry, found it in the Bible. I'm making notes. I've got so many back orders of videos that I want to do. One of them is going to be on the divine spark. Understanding the divine spark comes from the Bible. You want to know all things? Read your Bible. It's there. Psalm 8:6, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Psalm 57:2, I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. I love that. God performeth all things for me. This is why I believe that every word in my Bible was written to Mike Hoggard. That's why I believe that. For Mike Hoggard. To Mike. God will perform all things for me. I love it. Psalm 119:128. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. I love that. All things are right, and I hate every false way. That's why I hate the NIV, the RSV. Somebody told me that I had to read, in order to get my mind straight, I had to read a book by Clarence Larkin. So I got a copy of that book. Gary had it. You know what I'm finding in there? Any place in the King James Bible where he didn't find what he wanted, he went to the Revised Version because it said what he wanted it to say. I hate that. I hate that. And I'll give you an example of that. Clarence Larkin teaches the pre-Adamic world, which the King James Bible says nothing about. It's not there. It's not there. And you say, well, what about it? I'm telling you, it's not there. It doesn't exist. And to prove his point, I think there's a passage out of Isaiah that said that God created the earth not in vain. And that's what it means. He created it not in vain. In other words, he had a purpose for it. But Larkin didn't like that because it didn't prove the pre-Adamic world. So he went to the Revised Version, which says he created it not a waste. And he says, see, there it is right there. I hate every false way. I hate it. I don't want any part of it. Neither should you. You should. I mean, that. To be honest with you, that's what I do. Someone hands me a book and says, now, Pastor, you got to read this book now or go to this website. Now, they don't use the King James, but they got to get information. I don't read it. I don't read it. And I won't. It's the first thing I look for. Somebody wrote a book about prophecy. First thing I'm looking for. What Bible did they quote? Well, and the NIV. Sorry. Not going to read it. I don't want that in my mind. I hate it. I hate the false ways. And so what I like is that all things are true. Concerning all things to be right. Proverbs 16:4, the Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Think about that. Think about that. Who made Pharaoh? God. Who made Judas? God. Who made Lucifer? God. Who made the beast? God. Why did he do it? To give man choice. There's no choice unless you have. Here's what God said. God said, believe what I said. You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree. You shall surely die. And so God made Lucifer. And here he comes along the serpent saying, you shall not surely die. So now you got to decide which one you're going to believe. Proverbs 26:10, the great God that formed all things both rewarded the fool and rewardeth transgressors. He formed all things. Proverbs 28:5, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. they that seek the Lord. You say, well, there's some things in the Bible I don't understand. Keep reading. Keep reading. You'll get it. It may be the next day, maybe in the middle. To be honest with you, I hate those revelations in the middle of the night because I really like to get my sleep. But just keep reading. God will show it to you. How do you know this, Pastor Mike? Because he said he would. Call unto me and answer, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. So you know what the best thing that you can do in your search for truth is? Not to go about to try to reestablish somebody else's version of truth. Or really not to even have an agenda to try to tear down everybody else's version of truth. All you should be interested in is, I want to know the truth. And there's only one. And I want to know what it is. So do what I did. Come out of the camp. Tell God that you don't know everything. That you're not as smart as you thought you were. And God, just take it all out and give me understanding of all things. He'll do it. Isaiah 44:24, thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked, who can know it? That's man. That is mankind. It is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. This is why let God be true and every man a liar, people. Jeremiah 51:19, the portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things. And Israel, think about that. He is the former of all things. You know what he's talking about? Christ. And Israel is the rod of his inheritance. Read Isaiah chapter 11. The rod, the stem of Jesse. The Lord of hosts is his name. He is the former of all things. Before all things were, Christ was. Remember what Jesus said. Before Abraham was, I am. I love that. And the Jews were going, did you hear what he said? They knew exactly who he was identifying himself with. Matthew 11:27. Now we get into the New Testament. These are some cool passages here. Matthew 11:27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. Now, and I keep referencing the Word of God here. So think about in Revelation 5, we have the book in God's right hand. And then it's delivered over to his son. Now his son has it. Think of Moses. God drew a picture of it. He showed you a type of it. Here's Moses in the mountain of God, and God gives him his word on two tables, Old and New Testament, two witnesses, confirmed. It comes down from heaven in his hand. That's that beautiful picture of that. I love that. And so here is all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And so the Father has all things in his hand. He then delivers them over to his son. Now his son has them. Now they're mine. Okay? And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Matthew 17:11. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Isn't that neat? Everything that God said in the Bible, he can do it. He will do it. That's what hope is. Hope is knowing, not just wishing, but knowing that what God said he'll do, he'll do. With man, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. You know what I get out of that? I get out of that that when you pray, and prayer is asking God for things, I think that your brain and your thought processes and your mind should coincide and be in line with the scriptures. And when you read the scriptures and have a scriptural mindset, you are never going to get on your knees and cry unto God that God make you fabulously wealthy. God, I need the Porsche. I need it. You're never going to do that. So you get your mind in tune with God. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive in all things. Whatsoever you shall ask. Get your mind going along in line with the Word of God. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. Now, here's something that you probably were thrown a curveball on this issue from the Hebrew Roots people who are trying to convince you, desperately convince you, that since Jesus kept Torah, which that phrase not in the Bible anywhere, since Jesus kept it, he's commanding us to keep it as well. That's a lie. Jesus said that, I don't know if I can think of the verse. I'm going to paraphrase it. As I have kept my Father's commandments, he kept the law. So you should keep my commandments. Two sets of laws, two sets of commandments. Okay? Just throw that at you. Let's see here. Mark 4:34. But without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Isn't that neat? I love this. I don't know why I didn't do this 3 weeks ago. Well, I do. They cut our internet cable, and all kinds of problems happened, and they call me names, and I'm having fun today. Teaching them to, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. He's telling them what the parables mean based upon the book of all things. John 1:3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. I believe that the Bible is an absolute perfect rendering of everything that is in the universe. I may not be able to see it all, but I think it's there. The book of all things created all things, and without him was nothing made that was made. Let's see here. John 3:35, the Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. John 4:25, the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh. That's in John 4. Why didn't I see it? I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Now, you hang on to this one, people. When Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. So Joe Smith of the Mormon Church, which I don't think that's his real name. I think he made that up. What's your name? Joe Smith. Joe Smith of the Mormon Church said that Jesus did not, in fact, tell his disciples all things. That he told Joe Smith them in the 1800s. Another testament. Even though at the very end of the New Testament, Jesus himself said, no more words after this one, we're done. Joe Smith comes along and says, I got another one. And people fall for it. People fall for these latter-day prophets and all these dreamers of dreams and everything like that. Oh, they're prophets. They're hearing from God. I want to know what you're hearing from God. And yet, Messiah is the one who teaches us all things. By the way, your King James Bible allows you to call him Christ, that Greek word. It allows you to do it. John 4:29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? John 5:20, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. John 13:3, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands. John 14:26, I like this one. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's the beauty of living the Christian life and studying the Bible and studying things that are going on in the world, is that all of a sudden the Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance something right out of the pages of the Bible, and you'll go, oh, that's what that is. Wow. I've had a couple of those wow moments just since yesterday afternoon. I'm going, oh, wow, that's what that is. Everything that I see out here in the world, since all things created all things are in the Bible. Not in the book of Enoch. Just throw that in. Oh, let's see here. John 16:15, all things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So Jesus receives all things from the Father. Now Jesus has it, and now the Spirit, the Comforter, is going to show you what's been sealed up, what's been a secret, a mystery. Now it's revealed, and now the Spirit is going to show you those things. I believe the devil can read the Bible just like anybody else can, but he can't see certain things, and he definitely doesn't believe certain things. Some things are kept hidden, and if you can't comprehend that, because you have this concept that the devil is this all-knowing spirit. He's a beast. In deer season, I wear orange in the woods. And the reason why I wear orange in the woods is so that my son doesn't shoot me. That's why I wear orange in the woods. And when I was a boy, I didn't comprehend that. I'm looking at dad's putting on this orange vest, got this orange sock cap, and here, you got to put this on. Why? Dad, we stick out like a sore thumb. Why do we wear this? Because, son, deer can't see it. They can't see orange. Devils, there's just some things they can't see. You can. You can see them. That's why I never shot my dad during deer season. I saw him coming a mile away. There's orange coming through the woods. I know that's not a deer. Acts 2:44, and all that believed were together and had all things common. So you know what? Come on out of the camp. Okay? Because we all believe the same Bible. Acts 3:21, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things. Acts 13:39, and by him all that believe are justified from all things. Oh, isn't this fun? Isn't this more fun than watching Matlock? Okay? This is more fun than watching wrestling. This is more fun. I've been to a hockey game, an NHL hockey game. All you Canadians up there, this is more fun than a hockey game. And by him all that believe, not those that work, but those that believe, are justified from all things. Paul said, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You cannot be justified by the law. Knock it off. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:32, I like this one. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? one of the camps that I'm not allowed back into anymore is the camp that says that different Christians are going to have different rewards in heaven, and that there are some who are going to have this up here, and then the little puny peons are going to have this down here. I don't believe that. And I have a verse right here. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, for all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I don't believe that there's higher degrees in heaven. That sounds like a secret society that I'm familiar with. That's what it sounds like. Sounds like I'm watching a documentary narrated by Richard Gere, who's a Buddhist, on Buddha. And this caste system in India, where all the people up on this level, they stay on this level. And all the people, all the little snotheads down on this level, they have to stay on that level. They're not allowed to come up because they're not good enough. That's not in the Bible, people. Well, I'm going to tell everybody that Mike Hoggard's... Well, you can tell them what you want. And you go tell them what I said. According to Scripture, Christ or God gives all freely all things. Romans 11:36, for of him and through him and to him are all things. 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. See, it's your Bible. The Spirit searcheth all things. It's like when you encounter something and you have a question, God, I need an answer. The Spirit is going through the Bible going, here, found it, right here. Here it is. And all of a sudden, God gives you a verse and you go, thank you, God. You're so holy. You're so right. 1 Corinthians 3:21, therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Not levels, not, well, some things are yours. Some things are. That's not what it says. 1 Corinthians 8:6, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. There's no differences. There's no levels. There's no greater this and lesser this. All things. 1 Corinthians 14:26, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. Let me just say this to those, and I'm teaching this on Sunday morning, I'm trying to be nice about it. I know that people are coming from all different backgrounds and all different walks. And I don't want to scare you off as soon as you even start looking in this direction. But did he not say that what we're to be doing is to edify in all things? So you just ponder that. And that's in 1 Corinthians 14 in relation to unknown tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:40, let all things be done decently in order. 15:27, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected which did put all things under him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new, including the old covenant. Now it's a new covenant, not a renewed covenant. Don't fall for that lie. They're trying to tell you, when they call it the renewed covenant, they're trying to tell you that the New Testament seeks to do nothing but put you back under to make you Torah observant. It's a lie. That's not what it's called. Let's see here. 2 Corinthians 5:18, and all things are of God. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So, to the Michael Roods and the Jim Staleys and the Monte Judas and all those other people out there who are trying to tell you that you can keep, if you keep most of the law, that pleases God better than all the other Baptists that don't. Well, if you're going to seek out Torah observance in order to gain favor with God, you're cursed. Ephesians 1:10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Ephesians 1:11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. God worketh all things. Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Colossians 1:16, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Colossians 1:17, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head. Colossians 1:18, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Man, that is so good. Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, prove all things. Prove it. Well, I believe this and such. I believe so and so. I believe this. Prove it. Prove all things. Here's one here. 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say in the Lord, give thee understanding in all things. That means think about the Bible and God will give you understanding. Titus 1:15, unto the pure, watch this. This is all you King James Bible people. Under the pure, all things are pure. You know what that means? If you believe that your Bible is pure, it has no defilement, no corruption whatsoever, no mistranslations, no words that are misplaced or shouldn't be there, God, you know what pure means then, don't you? Just, it blows my mind. These people whose definition of the Bible means that, oh, obviously it's got mistakes in it. Duh. Under the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. This is that, watch this now. This, you might want to write this verse down. This is that crowd that says all the translations have problems with them. All translations are wrong. All translations have defects. There is no pure translation. None. What does it say here? Unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. Titus 2:7, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Titus 2:10, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior in all things. Hebrews 1:2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. There it is. All things created all things, and all things are upheld by all things. Beautiful. Hebrews 2:8, has put all things in subjection under his feet. Hebrews 2:17, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. I love that verse. In all things, Jesus was made like us. That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. You know how Jesus is so good at what he does? He was down here with us. He knows what it's like. He knows what it's like. I mean, think about this. for the first time ever, God slept when Jesus slept. For the first time ever, God bled when Jesus bled. Man, that's good. Hebrews 3:4, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. All things. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Did you catch that? He gave us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You know what that means? He didn't leave anything out of the King James Bible. It's all there. And I've been told that I won't have all things that God wants me to know until I read Clarence Larkin or Finis Dake or Joyce or Joel or Tim LaHaye. Oh, you got to read, you got to go read this book. Now, if you read this book, then you'll really have it. But God has already given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. 1 John 2:20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. You don't need me. You have all things. You have a King James Bible. You have the Holy Spirit. He'll teach you stuff. He'll teach you stuff that I'll never understand. He'll teach it to you through the Word. So the next time, you might want to write this down. The next time someone is mad at you because you're not buying what they're selling, and they tell you, now, if you would just read this book, if you would just read this book here, please read this book. You've got to read this book. You must watch this YouTube video. It's only 2.5 hours long. And it's part one of a 10-part series. I'm not done. Anyway, next time someone comes up to you with that garbage, just quote, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as is taught you, ye shall abide in him. Just quote scripture. 1 John 3:24, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Revelation 4:11, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Revelation 21:7, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Wasn't that fun? That was a ton of fun. And that's the way I read the Bible. That's the way I study it. I just chase it all down through the Bible. We're going to have fun this weekend. We're going to search the scriptures to see whether these things be true or not. So be praying about our homecoming. Those of you who are planning on coming in, please be safe. We're going to have a good time. My sister and her husband right now are preparing the pork as we speak. Whew. The best smoked barbecue you've ever had in your life will be here at Bethel this weekend. I promise you. Good Bible teaching. Southern Rays is going to be here starting Saturday morning. I think they got somewhere to be Friday, but they're going to be here Saturday morning. Be singing throughout the day Saturday and Sunday morning as well. Looking forward to it. We will be streaming all of our services live online, and we will then have them available on our website and through DVD, although it may take a while because there's going to be a lot of stuff we're going to have to go through and render and edit and post. And so just be patient with us, all right? You know, I was going to spend some time getting into some emails today, and I apologize for not doing that. Looks like there's some good emails here and have some good questions, and I want to get to that. But here's what I want you to do. Maybe Thursday we could do just a Q&A. So if your emails came in, I didn't get to them today, please send them Thursday, and we'll try to get to them. All right? Good to be with you today. Man, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for his goodness. And believe me, it's nice outside the camp. All right? Come on out. That's where we're free. We're free outside the camp. God bless you. We'll see you.